Many people do not understand what worship is all about. Many people, when you say worship, what does that mean? Nor do they know how to worship. There are people, especially people that just have maybe gotten saved recently or have rededicated their lives, that they really don't know how to worship. They don't understand it. Well, let me just give you a very simple definition for the word worship. Worship is nothing more than loving God back. Now, just understand this, that worship is nothing more than loving God back. God first loved us because he sent his son to be able to die for us, and he wants to be able, and he loves us. But before we begin our service, I want to share with you some things about worship this morning. But just keep that in mind as a very simplistic definition for what worship is, and that is we just love God back. Tell him how much you love him. Just right now. Father, we love you this morning. Just tell the Lord that you love him this morning. Just worship him. And if you're not familiar with worship, this is a good opportunity just to learn how to worship. God made you, and he loves you with an everlasting love. And a figuratively saying, you're the apple of his eye. And he loves you in a very special way. Yet God desires for you to love him back. And we call that worship. How do we worship? Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. God's Word translation says it this way. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Go into its courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. Now there's another translation that says, enter his gates with a song of thanksgiving. Come into the courtyard with a song of praise and give him thanks to praise his name. So you see, in all of those, even though some of them are worded a little bit differently, they all, I need my picture back the first picture. There you go. Come on, yeah. I got it. In the Old Testament, worship was in what they called the temple. And that's a picture of the model of the temple that is now in existence in Jerusalem. As you will notice that it's a square or a rectangle. And as you go into it, to be able to get inside of those walls, you have to go through gates. You have to go through gates. And that's what this scripture is talking about here when it talks about enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. And when he talks about courts, you see, if you go inside those gates, there's what they call an inner court, which is the big one you see outside. And then there is the inner court, which is one that's inside. And then inside of the inner court is what they call, what they refer to and what the Bible calls the holiest of holies. In the Old Testament, this was where the Spirit of the Lord resided. The presence of the Lord resided was in the holiest of holies. There was only one person, the chief priest, that could go into the holiest of holies. He had to go through certainly certain ceremonies as he went through it. And if he didn't go in ceremonially clean, he could cost him his life. In fact, there was a couple of people that this very thing happened to. And that was, they went in there and they were not ceremonially clean and they had to pull them out. In fact, they tied a rope around their leg that if they got in trouble, they pulled them out. And that happened. That was a part of the way that the worship was. Now, the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because when you read the scripture here and you talk about the gates, the gates don't mean anything unless you have this understanding of worship. And what we have here is that in this type of the Old Testament worship was a pattern or a type and a shadow of things to come. Now then, as we worship in the New Testament, we no longer have to go through the gates of the physical gates, the stone gates, but we do have to come into the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and with joy in our heart. Hallelujah. By faith we enter into it. Where in the Old Testament it was actually a physical being, today Jesus Christ is our gate to be able to go into it, and by faith we're able to come into his presence and worship him. But yet there's a pattern there. So what worship amounts to is that when you come into, if you want to come into the presence of the Lord, you come into his presence, what? With thanksgiving and with praise. Can you say that with me? Come into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise. And that's what we do when we come to church on Sunday morning. We shouldn't come to church and just think that we're going to be singing songs. We're coming to church because we are coming to church to worship the Lord. Now, if you want to really achieve or receive the blessings of the Lord whenever you come to church and you want to enter into his presence, then you come in those doors back there thanking God for the goodness of God, for the glory of God, for the blessings of God, for the healing virtues of God, for the wonderful things that God has done for you. That's the first step. That's what the Bible says. So this morning, as we prepare to go forward, I want you to now develop an attitude of gratitude wherever you're sitting, wherever you are, wherever you might be as far as in your spiritual development. God this morning desires for you to worship him. He loves you. He wants you to love him back. And that's what worship is all about this morning. And you say amen.
Amen.
We want to worship and we want to bring glory to God. Thanksgiving is giving back to God for what he does for us. Giving thanks to God for what he does for us. He saved us. He healed us. He provides for us. He takes care of us. He loves us. Can we thank God for it?
Yes,
yes, yes. To worship the Lord, to truly worship the Lord. Did you know that a non-believer cannot worship God in spirit and in truth? But as a believer, you have the right to worship him in spirit and truth. But if we're going to truly worship the Lord, we need to do it with an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise is the means by which we express our joy to the Lord for who he is, and for what he does for us. See, praise and thanksgiving go somewhat together. Praising God, we call adoration. Praising him for what he does for us, we call thanksgiving. Praise to God may be in song, may be in prayer, may be given individually or collectively. David said, he has put a new song in my mouth, and my praise shall be continually of you. Can we say that with David this morning? That when God gave us that new birth, we were born again, became a believer in the kingdom of God, that God put a new song in our heart, a new joy in our soul this morning. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Our worship should be characterized with praise, thanksgiving, and joy. So when we come to church on Sunday morning, we come to church with the idea that we are going to rejoice and enjoy the presence of the Lord and bless his holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, we should be grateful to God, especially for the work of salvation that he has done in our life. We ought to also be thanking God for his answering our prayers. Now, And what we share here is, and that is that if when we pray for somebody and believe God for healing. Well, let's just take healing as an example. We pray for healing and we believe God for healing. And we pray for health and healing of the church, which we're doing right now. You know what? The way that we should do that is just continually confess and pray. I thank you, God, for the health and healing of this church. I thank you, God, for the health and healing of my family. I thank you, God, for the health and healing of the people that I'm here with. Thank you, Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stay with me now. There is going to be worship in heaven. Where's Mary Jo? It's okay. It's okay. I'm on a roll. Okay. There's going to be worship in heaven. Right now, there's worship in heaven. Right now, you and I can join in and sing and be a part of it. Now, you know, John gives us a picture of this in Revelation 5:11. John said, "Then I looked again, and I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels around the throne." Thousands and millions of angels and living beings and the elders. And they sang a mighty chorus. Get a picture of this, folks. The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb who was killed. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They also sang, blessings and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Can you imagine what a scene that is? And that is for the millions of people, the millions of angels, millions singing glory and power to the Lamb of God. The closest thing that I can get to this is used to when we had our Promise Keepers meetings, and we would go to those Promise Keepers meetings. There was some 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 to 50, 60, maybe 80,000 people that would be in attendance. And I tell you, when those men all sang those baritone voices and they would be singing to the Lord, it was like the angels of heaven were singing. Hallelujah. All right, that's some 10, 20, 30, 80,000 people. Now, when we get to heaven, there's going to be millions of people that's going to be singing and worshiping the Lord, and we get to join in with them. That's real worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, there's different ways that you can worship. You can worship by singing. Psalms 147, 7 says, "Sing out your thanks to Him. Sing praises to our God." And we're going to do that in just a few moments. Music goes together with the love of God. And in Psalms 95:1, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us give a joyous shout to the rock of our salvation." Yeah. Notice the psalmist said, "Let us sing. Let us make a joyous shout." Singing is good. Worshiping is good. Psalms 134:2 says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Have you got two hands this morning? You can bless the Lord. You can worship the Lord this morning by lifting your hands. That your hands are an instrument of worship. As you clap your hands, as you lift your hands, as you shout to the Lord in victory, that is worshiping the Lord this morning. "Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph." So when you're lifting your hands and you're shouting to the Lord and you're rejoicing with Him this morning, you are worshiping the Lord. Hey, I get to preach twice this morning. Earlier we spoke about expressing our thanksgiving to God in worship. But it's also important during this Thanksgiving season to remember and thank God for many of His other blessings. And we designate a Thanksgiving day. We recognize that. But really, our whole year ought to be one of Thanksgiving. But it's our desire for the next few weeks to be able to speak concerning Thanksgiving and the importance of it and that importance of Thanksgiving. So I'd like to touch on this morning something that I've always Well, how can I rephrase this? It's something that I came into knowledge of, but not early in my Christian experience. But since I have come into the knowledge of it, it has been something that has revolutionized my life and my thinking. And that is what is commonly called the blessings of Abraham. Galatians 3:13 tells us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What this scripture is saying is that the same blessings that were of God that gave Abraham, that was upon Abraham, is yours to be had through faith.
Yes,
now, if you're not familiar with Abraham, he is typically called the father of faith. He is the foundation of faith. He was the first person that we recognize to be a person of faith. And so just for a few moments, I'd like to look at the life of Abraham and kind of give you a capsule, snapshot picture of him. And then we will look and see how his blessings can come and apply to me in my life today. And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, go to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and we will be reading the 1st through the 4th verse. Genesis 12, 1 through 4.
There
you go. We'll talk about that later. All right. Reading in Genesis 12th chapter in the 1st through the 4th verse. Now the Lord had said to Abram, this was his name before God changed his name to Abraham. Anyway, said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now just pause there for just a moment, and I want you to put Abraham's sandals on your feet this morning. And if God spoke to you this morning and says, I want you to leave Grove, I want you to leave all the security of everything that's here, and I want you to go to someplace where, and I'm going to show you, when you get out here at the end of the city limits, I'll show you where you're going to go. I don't know about you, but I might say, is there anybody else up there? No, I'm kidding. Anyway. That could be a very scary thing to have or to hear from the Lord. God went on to say in the 2nd verse, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And this is the reason that Abraham is called the father of faith. Abraham did not question God. He did exactly what God told him to do. He obeyed God. And that, my friend, is the best definition and explanation for faith. This is known in the Bible circles as the Abrahamic covenant. God voluntarily made a covenant with him whereby he obligated himself when he said, I will. God said, I will. God didn't have to do this, but God said, I will. We'll bring to pass the promised blessings. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, and I don't have time to go there, so I'm just going to capsulize it for you. God said, I will multiply you exceedingly, make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will keep the covenant for all of Abraham's descendants. Now, typically when we think about this, this scripture here where it says, and I will keep the covenant for all of Abraham's descendants, we typically think of the Jewish people, and rightly so. But I want to take you back to our scripture that says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Yes.
So I want to broaden your thinking, and I hope I don't kick over too many sacred cows when I tell you that spiritually, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a descendant of Abraham and the faith that, and his faith into our life. Amen. Amen. Stay with me. God's covenant with Abraham, and again, I'm trying to summarize this so we can break it down into, and I believe we might even have, no, come on. Whoop, oh, right there. I believe that's it. And I don't know whether it's on your outline or not, but nonetheless.
Yes, it is.
God's covenant with Abraham promised to make him a great nation. Now, I don't know that each one of us is going to become a great nation, but this I do know. That the nations that bless Israel and bless the Israeli people will be a great nation.
Amen.
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 God's covenant with Abraham promised personal blessings to him. Now, and again, I don't know if you've had the occasion, or maybe we have had, to study the word blessings. Personal blessings to him. The blessings, if you look that word up, means life, riches, fruitfulness, or plenty. My friends, this is the blessings of God upon Abraham. Can I go back to Galatians where it says, and the blessings of God are yours as well? See, we get so narrow-minded and we get so focused on what are the things that we have been taught in our tradition that we don't realize that God wants to bless you beyond any blessing that you've ever had before. As you grow in Him and as you're obedient to what He tells you to do, and as you become more people of faith through Jesus Christ, God is able to bless you even more than ever before. You know why? Because the blessings of Abraham has come upon us. Now, that blessing doesn't come just because I get up every morning and say, God, I'm very pleased to be here today, and I say my prayer and I go about my business. The blessings of God comes upon your lives as because you are obedient to what His Word says. And my friend, that is the greatest manifestation of faith that you can find in the Word of God, and that is being obedient to what God has said in His Word. So, He has promised personal blessings on him, life, riches, fruitfulness, or plenty. Just pick up whichever one you want and claim it. Promised to make his personal name great, with honor and reputation. He promised to make him fruitful. Promised to multiply his descendants. Lord, I'm not gonna don't want any more of those. So just don't want no Sarah. It's called a legacy. We're leaving a legacy. We're leaving a legacy. A legacy, okay? He promised that he would be a source of blessing to others. And you know what? There's two there that I want to really focus on. Number one, he wants to make you great. He wants you to have a good reputation. He wants to honor you. He wants you to have a good life, an honorable life. Now you do that by being a person of character.
Yes.
And if you are a person of God, and if you're a person of faith, you should very well be a person of character. Now I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not, but you know what character really is? That is that your mouth and your actions line up. But you know what? But that's God. If you ever think about it, that's what God is. His word and his actions line up. And if you are a person of character, your word and your actions will line up with one another. So anyway, God wants you to have a great honor and a good reputation. Now the second one is promise that he would be a source of blessing to others. And this is where many people, take these glasses off so I don't fall. There were several steps there. You didn't see them. Did you? You know, this is where many people miss it. We want the blessings of God. We want the goodness of God. We want God to bless us with prosperity, financial prosperity. We want God to do all these things. But for some reason, we seem to miss that last statement there. And that is the reason that God wants to bless every one of you with all the blessings that heaven has is so you can share it with other people. Amen. And be a blessing to other people. Amen. I'm going to go a step further. And this church is blessed. Amen. Now this church is blessed.
Yes.
But this church is a giving church.
Amen.
We give to the people. What Fred said last week, I thought, and it was in your bulletin today, and Fred is the one that is responsible for that, about thank God that you gave. But that is so true. We are blessed because we are a blessing to the people. We are blessed because we're a blessing to the community. We are blessed because we're a blessing to missionaries. We are blessed because we're a blessing to the people of this body that has to struggle, does struggle, maybe financially. We are a blessing to them. And you know what? If we are blessed and we bless others, then God's going to bless us back as a church. Now, this is a part of the blessings of Abraham. And you know what? You, and I say you, I mean Bill, I mean Jeff, I mean Brenda, I mean Joe, I mean everybody, individually. Don't just look at this corporately. Look, take this home with you, buy it, buy into it, and you will be blessed with Abraham's blessing.
Exactly.
Amen. God will bless if we will do what he tells us to do. It really comes back. You know, faith has been described in a lot of ways, and really, I don't have time to teach on that, but there's really two kinds of faith, and that is passive and power faith. But God will bless you if you're obedient to him. This morning, you have a promise in Galatians 3:14. This morning, you individually, not just corporately, this church does, but you individually have a promise in 3:14 that the blessings of Abraham are yours. You are redeemed from the curse of your past. You remember the scripture that talks about being redeemed? You are redeemed from the curse of your past. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God said, come with me and I will take you to a land of life, riches, fruitfulness, and plenty. For some reason, I didn't say that well. I'm going to repeat that. First of all, God has redeemed you from the curse of your past. Now, do we agree with that? Now, secondly, he said, Abraham's blessings are yours. Okay? Abraham's blessings are yours. Blessing, as we define it, means life, riches, and prosperity. Now, when you got saved, not only were you redeemed from your past, but in the new birth, he said, I will take you to a land of life, riches, fruitfulness, and plenty in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now we got it. Okay, good.
Thank you, Lord.
Folks, I didn't write it. I just read it, and thank God I believe it.
Amen.
Are you a candidate for the blessings of Abraham?
Yes.
Then let's thank God for them. Father, I thank you this morning because that I am a candidate for those blessings of God this morning. How did Abraham receive these blessings? Let's talk about that for just a moment or two. And he, Abraham, this is in Genesis 15:6, if you want to write it down, Genesis 15:6. And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. It was a simply believing God and standing on that promise that what God had said to him, and that was the reason that he received the blessings of God. If you will believe the Lord, if you'll take his word, and if you will believe the Lord, and if you will be obedient to what his word says, you can, will, must receive the blessings of Abraham. Abraham believed. Abraham trusted God. And therefore, he obeyed God. And my friends, that is the best definition for faith that you can have. How do you make God smile? Through obedience and faith. Because the scripture says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we want to please him, we want to keep his commandments, obey his word, we must have a life of faith. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure of to all the seed. Now that's Abraham's seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Hallelujah. I'm surprised you're not on your feet shouting. The Abrahamic kind of faith is the kind of faith that pleases God. It's the kind of faith that's quick to obey his word. If you will trust in the Lord, he will cause you to obey him by faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we live by faith and not by sight. Faith sees the answer before the actual manifestation of the power. Thinking about coming down that step there. One time when we were at the other church, I was at the end of the service, and I asked everybody, I said, will you bow your heads and close your eyes? And then I just proceeded to come down. And as I come down, I caught my foot right there on that step right there, and I fell flat on my face. But fortunately, everybody had their heads bowed and eyes closed, except those few heathens that didn't. They were looking. I don't know what that had to do with the message, except I almost did it again. Harold, did you see me fall? Anyway, faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
Faith sees the answer before the actual manifestation of the answer.
Yes.
Faith sees the end result, but faith is now and hope is futuristic.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Faith is believing and confessing. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Yes.
Believing and confessing is your possession.
Amen.
Faith is both passive and powerful. I don't want to get into that. During this Thanksgiving season, I'm going to try to share with you as many things as we can for us to remember to be thankful for. As I said, and we will conclude on November the 20th, on that Sunday, and we will be bringing a special sacred offering to the Lord on that particular Sunday. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that. But there are so many other things. We ought to be thankful for our salvation, thankful for the blessings of Abraham, thankful for the fact that God has this church here for us to be a part of. Thankful for the fact that I have brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thankful that we have people to pray for us. Thankful for the power of God. Thankful for God's word. We have so many things to be thankful for. This is the time of the year when we bring special focus to it. And then when we get in the habit of doing it between now and Thanksgiving, then we're going to do it all the rest of the year. And you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.